This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, April 28, 2021. The Memorial of St. Louis de Montfort, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I have come as light into the world. The words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ came, as he says, as a light to lighten the world. But not light in the way we generally think of light, something that illumines darkness in this world temporally, but the light that illumines the darkness of our souls. And as he says, that light is first and foremost his word. It is interesting to see that our Lord, he does not discount judgment in any way, shape, or form when he speaks that he has not come to judge the world, because that is coming in the future. Because what does our creed tell us? One of the 12 articles of our creed is, from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Is our Lord discounting that? Is that a contradiction? Absolutely not. He's just saying, up to this point, I haven't come to judge, I have come to save, because he is going to save the world by hanging on the cross for us. But even before that, he says that his word judges. This light that we have, the word of God, he has seen fit to broaden the sources of that light. It is just not about him. It is about all that he has said. Initially, his apostles and those disciples who followed them. And we see in the first reading today, for instance, in the book of Acts, we see Paul sent out on his first of his, what are referred to as the three missionary journeys. If you look at the missionary journeys of St. Paul in Acts, they seem to be broken up into three very specific time frames. And this is the first one that we see. This is our Lord Jesus Christ manifesting to us this idea of sending lights out into the world. He set the stage of instruction on that when he said to his apostles, you are the light of the world. This light is not to be hidden under a bushel. It is to be placed on a lampstand so all that can see it. This is our faith. This is what we are called to do. We are supposed to be on a lampstand. We are not supposed to obfuscate our light. We're not supposed to cover it up, so that no one would be offended by that light that is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be these lights. It started very early on. This one, Saul of Tarsus, read about his conversion last week. It's kind of interesting that St. Luke, who wrote the Gospel and the book of Acts, you look at the book of Acts, and if you could say St. Luke has a hero, it's St. Paul. St. Paul is the lion's share of the book of Acts, and you could tell that St. Luke has a great affinity for this one who used to be Saul of Tarsus. You see in this first missionary journey that it's kind of interesting to see some of the little tidbits of little trivia things for the book of Acts. We see that, you know, you would think, well, why didn't they go to Jerusalem to go out? Jerusalem is the doctrinal center of everything. This is the culmination of where the apostles initially set up shop. This is where this word of our Lord Jesus Christ is coalescing. But they're in Antioch, because whereas Jerusalem is the doctrinal center of everything, Antioch was the center where the gospel was spread to lands that were not inherently occupied by the people of God, the Jews. This place, Antioch, we see it is the springboard of our Lord Jesus Christ sending out these sources of his light that are the ones he has called to do this. We see Barnabas and Saul. Jesus deepens and broadens and progresses things just in a few verses of Scripture. First, it's Barnabas and Saul. You know, the Scriptures don't mix and match things just because. For instance, St. Peter. St. Peter is the prince of the apostles. He is the rock upon which our Lord Jesus Christ built the church. We see St. Peter every time there's a list of apostles, whether it be a few of them named and Peter's there or all 12 of them named, St. Peter is always first. And if he's in the list, Judas is always last. Not an accident, okay? This is the way the Holy Spirit shows us things. In chapter, the first reading today came from chapter 13 of the book of Acts. In the last verses of chapter 12, Barnabas and Saul went to Antioch. And then right after 13 starts, it's a few verses later, it's Saul and Barnabas. You see this progression of where Barnabas, because we will eventually see, not in this reading, but you eventually see where Barnabas and Saul actually separate. You see the Holy Spirit progressing these things as they go. And then in just a few verses after that, it's not Saul and Barnabas, it's Paul, otherwise known as Saul, otherwise known as Paul. We see this name change from henceforth. He's never referred to as Saul of Tarsus again. It is St. Paul. These little trivial things that you kind of miss if you don't pay attention to what you're reading in the Scriptures, they really speak to, as I set the stage for the progression of how our Lord Jesus Christ works. There's a broadening of what he does and how he presents things. This is why he called 12 apostles for himself, even when he was engaged in his earthly ministry. Our Lord Jesus Christ is engaged in his earthly ministry, and he sends 12 out before he goes into cities to prepare them. So he sets this foundation of him using servants to present this light to people. He sets people aside specifically for it. We are all called to that great commission. We are all called to present the gospel in however the Lord may have called us in the vocation of our life, whether you be a stay-at-home mom or a neurosurgeon. Whatever you do it for the glory of Christ. You do it to bring attention on him because of your talents. It is all about him. We should live our life focused on the Lord. But there are some that he separates for the specific mission of presenting his light to other people. I said in a homily last week, our Lord Jesus Christ, generally speaking, he calls individuals to touch the lives of many. We see that in the lives of the saints. Today, for instance, St. Louis de Montfort. We see him calling individuals to proclaim his gospel and touch souls. We know the saints' names, but we don't know those whom they touched. Okay, this is the way our Lord Jesus Christ works. He separates some people. That was in the book of Acts, the reading today. Separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have taken them. I like the older version better. It sounds so, I mean, it makes you think. For the work whereunto I have taken them. Not I send them, where I will take them. I've taken them. If presenters of our Lord Jesus Christ's gospel are doing the right thing, they should never be considered separate from him. It should be all about Jesus. I separate them for me because I am going to take them. This happened to the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. It's happening now as he steps out in his earthly ministry. God separates people to do his work, individuals, to touch many lives. Set aside for me, Saul and Barnabas. Set aside for me, St. Louis de Montfort. Set aside for me, put in your name. Because you've been set aside, well, I'm not supposed to go do what St. Louis did, or I'm not supposed to do what Saul and Barnabas did. And no, you're not called to do what they did, but you are called to do and influence the people that are around you. People in your families, your close circle of friends, and anyone else who will listen to you. And when I say listen to you, I mean pay attention to the way you live your life first and foremost. Our words are good, but nothing speaks as does the way of a practical Catholic life. That goes far. Then the hypocrisy claim goes right out the window. If we lived the life of faith that we're supposed to live, there wouldn't be an unbelieving soul on this planet in probably two or three generations. And this is why the gospel spread so early on, so fast, is because they were all of one accord. They were all on the same sheet of music, as we would say. We live in a day and age, cardinals are sniping against cardinals, bishops against, and what's really kind of interesting about that whole thing is our Blessed Mother said that that was going to happen. So as these things kind of pan out, we fret and wring our hands. It's really kind of nice to sit back and go, hey, what she said is true. Might be kind of hard to live through it, but it is true nonetheless. These are the times in which we live. People are on the same sheet of music. It's not a matter of dissension everywhere. They're a matter of people who proclaim the traditional faith of the Catholic Church and those who do not. This is not a six of one, half a dozen of the other proposition. There is the deposit of the faith, and there are people who claim to be Catholics who are presenting something different. That's all there is to it. You got to choose your sides. You got to know your faith. You can't choose a side if you don't know which side to be on. Well, he's a Catholic and she's a Catholic. Are they? Are they? We're supposed to, by their fruits, know them. This is the reality of where we live now. This is why I always say it's so important for us to know our faith. Our Lord Jesus Christ has broadened the vistas that we have to help us out in presenting the gospel. He's given us things since his earthly ministry that are tremendously effective. Preachers, nuns, great saints that some are contemplatives and you never see them during their life because they're in convents and monasteries. There are other ones who are out in public preaching missions like St. Louis, but they touch thousands of lives in their day, millions of lives. And God continues, if they're faithful, to present them with things that help them out. St. Dominic, the preacher, starter of the order of preachers. How many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, like millions of lives have these men and women in the Dominican order touched? And our Blessed Mother knew St. Dominic's faithfulness, and she gave him the rosary. And he presents the rosary as this instrument to help focus our prayers, an instrument that is nothing less than a very dangerous weapon. Dangerous to Satan and his minions. He gives that to St. Dominic, and then when St. Louis de Montfort comes on and our Lord separates him to go out and tell people about what the Blessed Mother says about the rosary. I love one of the quotes of St. Louis de Montfort. I quote, "Even if you are on the brink of damnation, even if you have one foot in hell, even if you have sold your soul to the devil as sorcerers do who practice black magic, and even if you are a heretic, as obstinate as a devil, sooner or later you will be converted and will amend your life and will save your soul. If, and mark well what I say, if you say the Holy Rosary devoutly every day until death for the purpose of knowing the truth and obtaining contrition and pardon of your sins." Not some easy believism, not like the rosary is a talisman. Well, you can commit any kind of sin that you might want. You just pray the rosary and you won't go to hell. No, he emphasizes, if you say it devoutly and well with the intention of knowing the truth and obtaining contrition and pardon for your sins. That's what it's there for. That's the message. See how the message deepens. But it's always the message of the gospel. It is always the message that within the parameters of the revealed will of our Lord Jesus Christ that we find in Scripture. Scripture that in the Old Testament pointed forward to him. Scripture in the New Testament that shows that he is the fulfillment of all of those prophecies. This is kind of interesting to me when I was reading that, is the order of sins. If you have one foot in hell, if you sold your soul, if you sold your soul, isn't as serious as even if you are a heretic. That's kind of interesting there. That is very interesting. Selling your soul to the devil to perform black magic isn't looked upon as serious by St. Louis de Montfort as heresy. Denying that truth that I just spoke about, that truth of the gospel message in all of its substance. These are the parameters our Lord gives us. He has deepened and facilitated this presentation of very bright lights in this world. And there don't have to be a lot of them. There do not have to be a lot of very bright lights. That's why we need to strive to be those very bright lights, because in this world, generally speaking, there's just not that many of them. But those who do shine, shine very brightly, because it is so dark. He that despiseth me receiveth not my words, and hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him on the last day. These are our Lord's words. This is why my emphasis on knowing the scriptures, the traditions of our church, and the consistent magisterial teachings of our church, because our conformance to those things will dictate on the day of judgment whether we are judged positively by our Lord and are told, enter into the kingdom of heaven that has been prepared for you since the foundation of the world, or depart from me, I never knew you. Depart into the hell that was formed for the devil and his angels. It's going to be one or the other. It's very easy, very easy. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just have to do what our Lord says. That's the bottom line. It doesn't mean you have to pass a theology exam to get into heaven. It just means that you have to live a practical Catholic life, but you have to know what Catholicism is in the first place. And we learn that by learning the scriptures and listening to the saints, and the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.